Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
If the roar of the crowd gives you goosebumps, cashing a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry, then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions, shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast. Here are your hosts, Dale Lippin and Trey Van Buskirk.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? You are tuned into the newest edition of the Punch List MMA Podcast. Your boy Dale Lippin in here. Flying. I'm Trey Van Buskirk. What's up, dude?
I'm sunburnt. I've had too many pina coladas, and I'm ready to cap off Fight Island.
You've had too many pina coladas?
Oh, yeah. Any drink with a back scratcher is good for your boy.
Oh, man. Pina coladas are rough for me because every time I taste coconut, I think of suntan lotion.
Why is that a bad thing? That means you're on vacation.
It's true, but I feel like I'm drinking suntan lotion.
Ah, okay.
Plus, one time I went golfing and I got hammered on the coconut Four Locos and really made a fool out of myself. I ended up blowing the tire off of the golf cart I was in. The guys I were with, they kept unstrapping my clubs from the back of the cart. So every time I drove away, the clubs fell off. And then I got home and I got my ass chewed by the wife because I was hammered. It was not good. Not good, man.
That sounds like a great time, man. Definitely going to get you some Four Locos in the future if we can find them.
Oh, yeah, I know. This was way back in the day. This was four coconut Four Locos deep over 18 holes. I was a mess. I think I shot well over 100. I know I shot well over 100.
Well, that's not a big deal. That's golf, dude. All right, you did it right.
All right, fair enough. If you're going to do things right, though, one thing that you should always do right is put the food that you put in your body. Cannot recommend them enough, guys. Go to steaklassymeats.com. Use promo code FIST. Save 10% on your entire order. Get some of the best stuff on earth delivered to your house. Do it right. If you're going to barbecue, do it right. Anything worth doing, like Trey said, is worth doing right. And feeding you and your family, your loved ones, you can't do any better than Stay Classy Meats. Again, go to steaklassymeats.com. Use promo code FIST. Save 10% on your entire order. Ah, dude.
Let me tell you this. Not only are we capping off Fight Island,
yeah,
but the boys and girls are coming back home. They're coming back to the States.
I think
there's only one thing we can do for them coming back to the homeland.
And show
that
me
is
tits.
Don. Well, oh, show your tits.
I thought that's what you were talking about.
Show your tits.
Just tits. I thought that we were just talking about just in general nipples out.
That's super American. Almost as American as Allegiance clothing, guys. When these fighters come back, you can either A, show your tits, or B, drape yourself in the most gorgeous outfit that is American-made, handcrafted. Guys, go to allegianceclothing.com, type in the code PUNCH, and you're going to get 15% off the dopest hats, the flyest shirts. What other 90s term I can utilize, doesn't matter. This is it. Allegianceclothing.com. Use the code PUNCH, 15% off.
Yeah, absolutely. Went to the beach last weekend. Well, this weekend that just passed, Trey. And you know me, I'm not a big ocean guy. Despite the fact that I live near the ocean, I don't necessarily like the ocean. I'm pretty much scared of everything that lives within the ocean.
Right.
I am a land mammal through and through. I'm shaped like a land mammal. I'm haired like a land mammal. I'm just, my people are not meant to be in the water, right? This is not where my people reside.
Right.
I come from a mountainous people,
yeah.
Right? So that's not really where we get down is in the water. But
yeah.
The family loves the beach. The family all looks like Southern California people. They're all super tall and blonde hairs and curls. And they're all, you know, you would never assume that they're mine, you know,
right,
that it's my brood.
For sure.
But anyway, I wore my Allegiance trucker hat in the water because, you know, I'm a little thin up at the top, you know, and I was trying not to get the sunburn going on.
Yeah.
And so I wore my hat. Even while I was hanging out with the kids, you know, splashing in the waves and whatnot. And I did not get attacked by a single thing while I was in the water.
You're just saying there's some type of repellent going on in this hat.
I'm just saying because I had that fly-ass American hat on, that veteran-owned and operated company, that don't fucking tread on me hat, sharks stayed away from me because they knew what was up. They knew that they would get a Chuck Norris-style freaking patriotic karate chop right to their gill, and I'd knock out all 17 fucking rows of their teeth if they mess with me while I have my Allegiance hat on. Now, I took it off. It was like Captain America putting a shield down. I didn't feel like as much of a patriotic American, so I had to slap that bad boy back on.
Dude, sometimes I wear Allegiance clothing just so that people think I'm packing. Fun fact, though, your boy's never even shot a gun.
Wow. Please don't say that out loud.
I did say that out loud.
That's all right. One of these days, we'll get you out to a range, and we'll go ahead and get that freedom boner at full mast.
Dude, coconut Four Locos and guns. That's what I'm talking about.
Let's see. Then we've already planned our next vacation.
It's done.
Let's do a punch list MMA retreat next July for the big card. Us, anybody else that listens to the punch list that wants to come out, we'll all rent a cabin. We'll do a range. We'll hammer Four Locos, shoot a bunch of guns, and bet huge on fights.
For sure. We're easily going to get this sanctioned or sponsored by some company.
Well, of course, you know Stay Classy Meat's going to fly Lewis out. He'll cook for us the whole time, right? By then, we'll have an alcohol sponsor. Everybody will get dope-ass punch list MMA shirts provided by Allegiance. Dude, and then, I mean, we'll CBD it up. We'll do everything. Everybody will come out there. Everybody's balls will be cleanly shaved. We'll get lawnmower 3.0s for everybody. You'll be sick, man.
Nice, dude. I love it. Well, here's one thing is I'm not going to fly people out on my dime. Let's put some money in these guys' bank so they can come out, visit us, shotgun some beers, and shoot some guns.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm not paying for shit. You guys are going to have to pay that. Sure. I thought that was a given.
No, you have to tell the listeners that for sure.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do this. Let's carve into this main card while we can. Speaking of quick turnaround or shotguns, if you will, Kazmat Khamiv. Making a super quick turnaround. It was like 18 days coming back and fighting Reese McKee, 10-2. Khamiv at 7-0. The minus 1,000 favorite here, Trey. Foregone conclusion that they're just feeding this guy somebody else so they can say that he's 2-0 in the UFC. So that way his next fight is a big fight. Only hesitance in this one here is this one's going to be at welterweight. First time we saw him was at middleweight, but he says welterweight is his more natural weight class.
Yeah, so Ryan McKee, this is supposed to be the next, like, you know, Irish big star, right? This is supposed to be the guy that, you know, McGregor's not here anymore. We just saw Joe Duffy retire. This is the guy that's supposed to cement himself with the green and orange. But in Khamiv, what you got here is you got a guy that makes fights ugly. He's a guy that utilizes his wrestling, his grappling. He's not boring with his wrestling and grappling. He's not like that guy that just lays and prays. He does damage with his elbows. This guy is super, super violent. So I love Khamiv in this fight. I think Dana loves this guy. Obviously, that's why he wanted to kind of keep this fight going, keep this guy in the mix. I really like this guy, and I like him to get done in a pretty devastating fashion.
Yeah, listen, I'm with you, man. This is a rough fight for McKee, especially because he's coming in on, you know, somewhat short notice here, and he's taking on another killer. This is just a rough spot, man. Yeah. I will say this, where, you know, consolation points can be rewarded. The guy's nickname is Skeletor. Really hard to do better than Skeletor. Absolutely fantastic nickname. 6'1", definitely a big dude, but man, what a rough debut in the UFC coming up against a guy that looked like an absolute killer. My only concern with this Khamiv guy is I don't want him to give him too much too soon. You know, we don't want another Johnny Walker style situation on our hands. Let him get this other W right here and then let the guy take some time off. We don't need to continue feed him fight after fight after fight. There's just no need for it. But let's move on, man. Alex Oliveira, the cowboy himself, coming back, taking on Peter Sabata. Cowboy Oliveira, 21-8. Peter Sabata, 17-6. Oliveira, slight favorite here, Trey, believe it or not. You know, definitely going to be an interesting fight. Minus 170 coming back on Peter Sabata, plus 140. Over under on rounds is at 2.5 for guys that have a penchant for finishing fights.
Yeah, so we all know that Oliveira snapped a 3-game losing streak before he fought our boy, friend of the show, Max Payne, won a split decision victory over him. Now we've got him coming off a win. We have the confidence behind Oliveira and a guy that's freakishly durable. For those that are not that invested in MMA and don't know who Oliveira is, this guy was a construction worker. He used to ride bulls. He's the definition of a true cowboy outside of the cowboy in UFC. I think Sabat is a tough task, but he's not one that's going to be able to come in and find a rhythm right away. The guy hasn't fought in more than 2 years. Ring rust is a real thing. Regardless of what any other fighter says, it's a real thing. So I think Sabata coming in, while he's dangerous on the ground, he's a BJJ black belt. Oliveira is a tough-nosed dude who's going to stand and has a great fight IQ and who has been consistent.
Oliveira once blown up by a grenade before.
That is not true.
That is true. That is true. What? That is true. There was like a robbery in Brazil and somebody threw a grenade.
All right, so I'm going to ask you this then. Who's the true cowboy? Is it Charles Oliveira? Or is it
cowboy? Honestly, yeah, I think for, you know, if in the truest definition of a cowboy, I don't think it's either one of them.
Oh, shit.
I think it's Aaron Pico.
Oh, what?
I think it's Aaron Pico. Have you ever seen Aaron Pico on a horse?
I have, but I've also seen him hang out in Costa Mesa at the Ruka gym all fancied up in his dry fit material and gear, dude. He's not wearing a, you know, a wife beater that's got some barbecue sauce on it and just building a ranch.
Well, not then. Not right then. Of course, you say the same thing about Cowboy. You say the same thing about Cowboy where he comes and he's got a little tie on and his hat with the feather in it and all that other shit. You talking about horsemanship? Are you going to talk about straight horsemanship? Aaron Pico. I'm just going with that. Now, you want to talk about, like, I guess you would say the embodiment of a cowboy lifestyle, like a John Wayne style toilet paper, rough and tough and doesn't take shit off anything. I think I'd go Cowboy Oliveira, man.
I think I'd go that too.
I think I would. Just, I don't know why. I mean, listen, something tells me getting blown up by a grenade, being baller enough to get the word cowboy tattooed on you. I give it to him. He looks like leather too. He looks like a saddle. He looks like a saddle of a human being.
Now, when you go hang out with Donald the Cowboy Cerrone, you're going over to his ranch, which is straight up Disneyland. First, when you go to Cowboy Cerrone, you're going to when you go to Charles Oliveira, you're going to like the Lakeside Rodeo. This guy is as true as it comes, and he's got a true test in Sabata coming up here. So where are your thoughts? What do you think is going to happen with Oliveira coming off that split decision win? Is he going to carry that momentum?
I think he is. I like Peter Sabata. I like the way he's willing to stand in there and bang. I like this fight. And normally a fight like this, I would be really into the under 2.5, especially being at a plus 100 right now. I really would normally go into that. But what we've seen out of Alex Oliveira like recently has been decisions. His penchant for finishing fights has sort of waxed and waned, went high tide, low tide, if you will. I'm not overly confident in him being able to get Peter Sabata out of there, nor am I confident in Sabata being able to knock out a highly durable guy like Alex Oliveira. It's hard enough in a fight like this to pick a winner because this is such an evenly matched fight, despite the fact that Peter Sabata has been out for 2 years. This is very, very good matchmaking by the UFC. This has potential for fight of the night all over it. If you are a DraftKings user, either one of these guys are going to score you some points come Saturday night. I'll just go with Alex Oliveira just because, you know, activity, level of competition. He's just been the more active guy, man. I will say this. I don't like Brazilians fighting on Fight Island. Right. I have not really enjoyed the Brazilian success rate, if you will, on Fight Island. I would not be opposed to staying away from this fight, but people listen to the show because they want us to pick winners. I'm going to pick Alex Oliveira.
Yep, I agree. No, the Brazilian fan base has just been decimated on Fight Island, but this is one that I do have a little bit of confidence in.
Davison Figueiredo excluded from that. Obviously, we realize that he just murdered Joey B. We get that. But rest still, RIP Joey B. All right, next fight. Gazmirad Antigulov taking on Paul Craig. Antigulov is at 20-6. Trey, Paul Craig at 12-4. Antigulov here, despite back-to-back losses, both of which were by TKO, is at a minus 105, just ever so slightly underdog against Paul Craig here. And a Paul Craig that I'm sure he's fun to talk to, but just not sure how he's going to get this fight done. 12-4, -125 favorite, Paul Craig.
Yeah, I think that line's going to get a little bit deeper for Antigulov. This guy's entering the fight in 20-6. He's won 75% of his fights by submission. The guy is gnarly off his back. When you look at Paul Craig, Paul Craig's the queen. I almost said queen. He's the king. He's the king of split decisions. We saw in his last fight against Hua that, you know, clearly Hua won that fight. I don't know how he got the favor in that.
Really? But, you think Hua won that?
Oh, I do. You don't think so?
No, I thought Craig won it easy.
No.
Yeah.
No, man. Ooh, you're controversial.
The plot thickens.
Wow. Okay, well, you know, while Paul Craig is not to the level, I don't believe, from a BJJ perspective, that Antigulov is, he does have 11 of his 12 victories via submission. So he's a tough guy, but he's just not one that I don't think he's going to get Antigulov down to the canvas. And nor do I think when he's down on the canvas, he's going to have the mental fortitude to get the points, lay on top, hold pressure, you know, get in there, get out. I think Antigulov's got the upper hand here.
I will time and time again go with a superior wrestler over a superior submission guy. I know that strikes a nerve with the BJJ community. Mm. However, I will always take an elite wrestler over an elite BJJ guy. I'm not saying that Antigulov is an elite wrestler. I'm not saying that. Nor am I saying that Paul Craig is an elite BJJ guy. I'm just really sort of banking on Antigulov being able to, you know, make Paul Craig look like the Paul Craig we've always seen, one that gasses out really early and gets into really ugly, sloppy fights, and ultimately gets that finished. Over on around, surprisingly, for this one, Trey, is at 1.5, which I think is interesting, considering these guys like to go to decision or get late finishes, if any finish at all. So interesting little tidbit there. All right, let's keep things moving right along. Women's MMA, not touching this fight with a 10-foot pole, but you have some thoughts on it, even though I disagree with them. Marina Rodriguez at 12-0, taking on Carla the Cookie Monster Esparza at 16-6, former strawweight champ of the UFC. Carla Esparza, you know, was just about as wrestle-heavy as possible, but she seems to be, you know, at least getting a little bit more comfortable with her hands. Possibly a fatal mistake if she's going in there with Marina Rodriguez. What do you think here, Trey?
Well, I love how you're not touching it with a 10-foot pole. I want to kick the fucking pole and hug this fight. I know who's going to win this fight. Carla Esparza. She has won 3 fights in a row. And, you know, you and I have gotten to this debate before. Yes, she is wrestle heavy. Yes, she's a superior wrestler. Dude, she has striking.
No.
She just beat Michelle Waterson by striking, the karate hottie, by striking. You tell me she doesn't have striking?
She did not outstrike Michelle Waterson. She wrestled her to death.
No, dude. She outstruck the shit out of her.
You're full of shit. You're so
I'm not. And then for you to text me today and say that Marina Rodriguez has this aura that she's the next Joanna Jędrzejczyk, like, how many Four Locos have you had today? I need to know.
Listen, I'm telling you, first of all, one of the two things you're not really divulging here that you should is 2 out of those 3 wins. One was a majority decision, which means that somebody had it listed as a draw. That was her fight against Alexa Grasso. And then the split decision that she won, somebody had it 30-27 for Michelle Waterson. Somebody had it 30-27 for Carla Esparza. We need to get the record straight here. These were not decisive wins, right? The decisive win came against Verna Jandiroba. It was, and she should be beating Verna Jandiroba. That's the fight that Carla Esparza should be winning, right? But Tatiana Suarez got slept. Claudia Gadelha lost the decision. I'm just telling you, this is a bad fight for her. Can she win it? Maybe. But dude, for the sake of your pocketbook, do not touch this fight.
Marina Rodriguez, who was her last fight against?
Oh, Marina Rodriguez. Who was that chick she pieced up? She pieced up somebody?
I can't remember her name. I was hoping you had it on the tip of your tongue. All I remember is she got taken down 3 times.
She lost. It was Cynthia Calvillo. Of course she's going to get taken down. And even that, it was a majority draw. It was a majority draw. That means 2 judges had it at a draw. 1 had it for Cynthia Calvillo. Lost a majority draw. Come on, bro.
And outstruck.
Oh my, she did not get outstruck by her.
Yeah, she did. No, Esparza by decision. Non-official play, but Esparza by decision.
All right, whatever. We're going to keep this thing moving, man. Let's get into the co-main event of the evening. the trilogy. No, it's not co-main event. I'm sorry. We got one point. That's, oh, they're throwing me off with all these fights on this. It's great. There's seven fights on the main card.
Awesome.
Alexander Gustafsson making his heavyweight debut, 18-6, taking on Fabricio Werdum at 23-9. Alexander Gustafsson threw his gloves down on the octagon floor once before. Will he do it once more after catching this L from Fabricio on Saturday night?
Before I give my take on this, I want you to kind of start off by saying, what was Dana White's infamous line about retirement again?
If you are even thinking about retirement, you should go ahead and do it. This is not the game for people that are half in and half out.
So this one is, it seems to me though, if you are half in, half out, it's the perfect fight for Gustafsson. I think what we saw, we didn't see a Werdum we've seen over the past 10 years in his last fight. We saw an extremely out of shape, sucking wind, post USADA type Werdum. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw him get pushed up against the cage, his belly came up and it said, fuck USADA under his belly, because he has literally eroded since USADA came into the game. Gustafsson, he's only been out for a year. His last fight was June of last year. So it's not like he's coming off this crazy retirement, you know, long length. He's been in camp. He's been training. And to go against someone that is not going to move and not have that much variety in comparison to Gustafsson on the feet, this suits him really, really well to enter into the waters of the heavyweight division.
It's a very interesting take. I don't know how much I like it, to be honest with you. I understand the logic behind it.
Yeah.
Alexander's been walking around media row all week saying that he pieced up Werdum when they've sparred before, that it was not competitive. And we've seen that's really paid dividends in fights. Guys that have gotten better in sparring, it's very hard to transition that over into the fight and reverse fortunes in that regard, if that's true. But let's not forget that Fabricio Werdum, again, pre-USADA, was heavyweight champ of the world. Let's not forget that he's a world champion BJJ practitioner. Let's not forget that Fabricio Werdum has been fighting the best men on the planet Earth in the biggest division, biggest as far as size goes, not depth, division, for probably the last 10, 15 years.
Right.
Alexander Gustafsson has a real task in front of him. Like, it's a very real challenge in front of him. And Werdum is at plus 270. I don't hate that line. Should Gustafsson win this fight? Absolutely. He absolutely should. But things that are working against him is he's not faced the level of competition at heavyweight that Werdum has. He's been out for over a year, and he's thinking about retirement. And you know what else he's thinking about? That new baby at the house. New babies make fighters soft. He's got new babies. He's got that new, I don't know if I'm retired. I don't know if I'm going to make a run at heavyweight. One foot, maybe I need a paycheck kind of deal. And he's going up against a guy that's a former champ. Did Werdum look like warmed up dog shit against Alexei Oleinik? He absolutely did. His body looked like a catcher's mitt. It's been laying out in the sun. He looked awful. He looked awful against Alexei Oleinik. But do you think that he used that performance to make the requisite changes and adjustments and come back? Does he know that he has a Swedish warrior in front of him, Alexander Gustafsson? He absolutely does. He absolutely does. Now, keep in mind that earlier on in the night, we've got Mike Grundy, who's taking on, Movsar Evliov. And if I'm not mistaken, Grundy and Gustafsson are teammates. So I think Evliov is going to win that prelim fight. We already know the domino effect. I'm just saying, I don't want to necessarily put an official play on this one, Trey. We spent a lot of time here for not putting an official play on it. I'm just saying, if somebody wanted to take Werdum at plus 270, get a pretty decent hit, and shoot your boy a little money on Venmo, I would not be mad at that.
No. I know I kicked the 10-foot pole away during the Esparza fight, but I'll go grab that pole and I'll be 10 feet away from this fight.
Yeah, I have no desire. And on the other end of the 10-foot pole, we're going to put the co-main event. We got Mauricio Shogun, who are taking on Little Nog. The third time these two have fought. It's amazing that both these guys are still in the game. Mauricio Shogun, who at 26-11, Little Nog at 23-9, Antonio Ruggiero and Nogueira, 23-9. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you, Trey, I wasn't really sure what to make of this fight. I really feel like this could be a retirement fight for either one of these guys. The problem with that is the winner is most likely going to stay around for one more fight. Little Nog plus 155. Shogun minus 190. Is this fight worth touching, or is it? I think it's dead even despite the odds.
I think it's dead even. That's why I actually think for Little Nog, who is a guy that has the most ebb and flow of all time from a KO to two does KOs. I mean, Ryan Spann, the last fight, you know, in the first round, May of 2019, gets knocked out. Before that, Sam Alvey, September 2018, knocks Sam Alvey out. This guy is a kill or be killed who can kind of go the distance with these fights. I think these guys have a ton of miles on them. They're exhausted. They're older. This is unique times in quarantine. They'll be on Fight Island. You know, we've seen a lot of fights go the distance on Fight Island. I think this is gonna go to decision, but I don't want to touch it because who knows what type of shape, you know, and plus Nogueira, who's fought, this is the third time fighting him. If you're fighting a guy the third time, there's something in the back of your head that says, I know where the vulnerabilities lie. Who has come in? He's done it twice, but is it really, it's tough to beat a guy twice. Is it, how hard is it to beat a guy three times?
Yeah. I'll say this, the over under on rounds is at 1.5, and there's a reason for that because both of these dudes are old. Both of these dudes are tired. Everybody's expecting the quick hit and turtle shell up. As we see older guys do, they get hit and they go, you know what? I don't have one more war left in me. It's a wrap. If you're going to make a play, I'll say if you're going to make a play here, the over 1.5 is not bad. Not a bad play there. My concern is that Little Nog going to sleep early, but we'll see. All right. Main event of the evening, Robert the Reaper, AKA Bobby Knuckles Whitaker, taking on Darren the Gorilla Till. Trey, a fight that has been a long time in the making. This is about as fan-friendly of a fight as you're ever going to find in the fact that this is taking place in an empty arena at, like, Fight Island. Super pisses me off because this is the type of fight you want a crowd for. It would be deafening. Fan favorites going at it. Title shot possibly on the line for the winner. Whoever does this, if they do so in emphatic fashion, can skip Jack Hermanson for the next title shot. Robert Whitaker at 20-5. Darren Till at 18-2. Dude, I love this fight.
I love it. I am going to miss the fans all screaming Sweet Carolina as Darren Till, the Gorilla, starts to walk into the cage. It's going to be a bummer. This was a fan favorite fight, but, you know, still from the luxury of our own couches, we're going to see this thing go down. And we're going to see a guy in Robert Whitaker who never utilizes his amazing wrestling and just wants to strike all day. Same thing with Darren Till, but he comes from a Muay Thai background. So that's where his bread and butter is, and that's where it needs to be. That's where this fight's going to stay. It's going to stay in the octagon. The question is, Dale, you told me about blitzing. What's the blitzing piece here?
Well, I think where you run into issues is that if you've got both of these guys fight to each other's weakness, right? Robert Whitaker does this sort of sit back, and then blitz forward style approach to engagements, right? And those blitzes are what Adesanya was able to negate, right? He knew the blitzes were coming, right? Which made him so effective. Most people criticize him from running away from Yoel Romero, but Romero fought the same way. Him and Robert Whitaker both have this very lazy, try to draw you in and then blitz style approach. You know, Whitaker admittedly is a little bit better with his jab, a little bit better with his leg kicks. But still, it's this very blitz-heavy approach. Now, if you look at Darren Till, that is the style that he struggled with, right? Yeah. Tyron Woodley was able to blitz him, hit him with that left hand, get him down on the ground, hit some elbows, and then ultimately got that choke in. If you look at the Jorge Masvidal fight, he was able to hit that quick little shuffle step and then hit him and knock him clean out. The flip side of that, if you look at Robert Whitaker, his last two losses have come against decorated, disciplined kickboxers. Israel Adesanya with the knockout. And then before that, you got to go way back and you got to look at when he fought Wonderboy, and Wonderboy got it done as well. Disciplined kickboxers give Robert Whitaker fits because their footwork and their counter striking is enough to negate the blitz. But with Darren Till, he struggles in the blitz because he keeps his chin so fucking high in the air. It's James Vick style, the way he keeps that chin up. Now, what are we going to see here? Are we going to see Darren Till be able to reel it in for 25 minutes, stay disciplined enough, and possibly win a decision or knock Robert Whitaker out? Or are we going to see Bobby Knucks do what he does, utilize that jab, get in there, blitz Till, and completely separate him from consciousness.
Well, I think we saw Till be a little bit more poised, and you can look back to the Gastelum fight. That's a fight. Gastelum, you could say he's a blitzer as well. He's a small guy. He needs to stand in the pocket, needs to throw heavy. You know, Till knew that he could be vulnerable there. So what did he do instead? He outpointed Gastelum. He utilized his reach. He utilized his strength, you know, kind of got in there, got his points, and got out. He didn't go toe-to-toe and do a firefight. I think his fight IQ has gone up exponentially. I think that we've seen a new Darren Till coming from welterweight up to middleweight. This is kind of where his division lies. And he's beefed up, dude. He's on the fish and chips. He's ready to go.
So are we going to go Darren Till here?
I want to make this the most official play we've ever made on the entire show. So official, it's official, bro.
It's officially official?
Officially official.
It's officially official. We're going Darren Till over Robert Whittaker.
Yep. Boom. Welcome to the Thunderdome. And spring became oh, dude. Louder.
Dude, I'm telling you. I'm feeling Darren Till walking out right now.
Oh, dude.
They'll play it. Nobody will be there. It'll just be us. We'll just be standing up. Everybody, all of England, hands up.
Yep.
We're watching them. Oh, that's right. We're touching me. Oh, and then we're going to touch you.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what we're going to do, right? And then everybody.
Ready? Sweet Caroline.
That's it.
Dude, I don't think anyone's going to be standing, though. I think they're going to be in the gorilla three-point stance because they're ready just to fucking charge, dude.
I think that's exactly it. All right, so we're going to lock in Darren Till there. So main card plays, Trey. Let's run through these real quick. You know, Kazmat Kimiev, obviously, we're just going to go ahead and, I mean, minus 1,000. Sure, he's going to win. Go ahead and make that 1-0. Alex Oliveira over Peter Sabata in what should be a pick 'em fight as we get closer. Alex Oliveira taking him there. Antsagulov over Paul Craig. You love Carlos Esparza. I hate that fight. Alexander Gustin, Fabricio Verdum. I love Verdum. You hate that fight. Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira versus taking on Shogun Hua. We both kind of fell in love with the over there on 1.5, but we might just avoid it.
Oh, not official. It's not official.
Do you want to play 1.5? Do you want to go over 1.5?
Yes, I do.
All right, let's live dangerously. And then Darren Till, Darren the Gorilla Till, going to get the upset win over Robert the Reaper, a.k.a. Bobby Knox Whitaker. All right, Trey, speaking of gorillas, did you know that gorillas have surprisingly small wieners?
Yeah, no, that's pretty much what you go to the zoo to see. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's actually an average size wiener. They just don't shave because they have no access to Manscaped, and they don't understand that if you just trim it up, it makes it look bigger.
God, dude, it's simple. It's the ABCs.
It's the ABCs. If we could just get gorillas, if we can teach a gorilla to use sign language, we should be able to teach a gorilla how to trim its pubes so that way the package looks bigger, so the females want to mate more, so that way gorillas aren't endangered anymore. I'm solving the world's problems tonight, Trey.
You're not. We would never give them – no, we would never give them our code PUNCH, which will get you 20% off and free shipping on manscaping.com, because if they get bigger dicks and they mate more, we're going to become Planet of the Apes. And what? Now there goes the human race? Dude, what are you doing?
All right. Well, maybe we won't give them our code then. I thought I was on to something.
No,
damn it.
No, dude, come on. We have to believe in humanity. But if you want to believe in your own penis, you need to use the code PUNCH at manscaped.com. That's going to get you 20% off and free shipping. PUNCH at manscaped.com.
Absolutely. All right, Trey, I want to do something we don't ever normally do. I want to run through the prelims real quick and just provide money line winners for all these real quick.
Just for it.
Boom, 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 boom. Rapid fire, right?
Let it roll.
John Castaneda, 17-4, taking on Nathaniel Wood, 16-4. I like Nathaniel Wood. Mm-hmm. Ramazan Ameev taking on Nicholas Stolze. I like Ramazan Ameev at 18-4. Betch Koheya versus Pani Kinzad. You know who Betch Koheya looks like?
The pit bull.
She does look like a pit bull. Betch Koheya is like that Applebee's waitress that after you're like 7 vodka lemonades deep, kind of like you're like, oh, what's up? What's up? But then the next time you go, it's not vodka lemonade for $1 night. And you look at her and you're like, oh, man, nah, this ain't it, dude. This ain't
no,
it.
No.
Pandy Kinzaid getting it done against Betch Gahea. Tanner Boser, 18-6, quick turnaround after the Philippe Lins win, taking on Rafael Pessoa at 10-1. I'm taking Tanner Boser, man. I like him. He's thin, he's fast, and he's got the Mississippi mud flap in the back, which I can dig. Movsar Evliov taking on Mike Grundy. This is a fight that I wish was on the main card because it's two wrestlers that love to submit people. Evliov is at 12-0, Mike Grundy at 12-1. Evliov has a penchant for the decision, Grundy a penchant for the finish by submission, but I like Evliov to get the upset here, Evliov outright. Tom Espinal taking on Jake Collier, 7-2, Collier at 11-4. Could not pay me to touch this fight, but I'm going to take Espinal just for the sake of taking it. Nicholas Dalby at 18-3, Jesse Ronson at 21-10. Wealth of experience for Jesse Ronson, but I love Nicholas Dalby in this fight. Potential fight of the night right there. Nicholas Dalby is never in a boring fight. Again, if you're a DraftKings guy, Nicholas Dalby's where it's at here. And then lastly, feature prelim, Ja Herbert taking on Francisco Trinaldo. Trinaldo at 25-7, Ja Herbert at 10-1. Personally, I wouldn't touch this fight either, but I like the tractor himself. No, he's not the tractor. Who's the tractor? That's Michael Perea. What's Francisco Trinaldo? What's his shit translate to? Do you know?
Dude, no. I've a slight handle on the English language. How dare you?
What's Masaranduba? Is that Anaconda? I don't know what Masaranduba is. Anyway,
don't you speak gibberish to me?
Listen, I'm learning Portuguese for Amanda Ribas. We already went over this.
I know. She's gone. She's back in the States. We're good.
It doesn't matter. I'm learning Portuguese. We will get Amanda Ribas on the show, and you will hear the most fluent Portuguese conversation between a guy that doesn't speak Portuguese and a chick that speaks fluent Portuguese you've ever heard in your entire life.
What am I supposed to do?
You're supposed to hang out and just smile.
Just sit there and shut up.
Sit there and you shut up, and you let me speak Portuguese to Amanda Ribas. That's what you do.
Okay. I'm down. As long as she's on, that's cool.
All right. Let's tie a bow on this thing. Dude, you got anything else for the people?
Guys, follow us on all social channels, Punchlist MMA on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, mostly Instagram. Just go to Instagram. Follow us on Instagram at Punchlist MMA. I don't deal with that Twitter crap. Facebook, we're on it, but you know, Instagram's where it's at. Also, if you can, if you're listening to this on Apple, please go and give us a 5-star review. We're always giving out beer money for a great review. And honestly, we just want to know what the people think.
True. The Holly Holm, Irene, Aldana card, August 1st. We're going to do beer money for that because that card's atrocious. You'll want to be drunk while you watch it. We're going to do beer money for that. So you got between now and when we record next week to leave a 5-star review. If you've already left a 5-star review, not a problem. You're automatically entered to win. If you have not, go ahead and do it. If you can't leave an Apple review, just shoot us a DM on IG and say, hey guys, I only listen on Spotify. I can't do anything about it. So, and then we'll go from there. You're automatically included. We've got a running tally. We're randomly picking numbers. We get new winners every time. It's perfect, man. It's absolutely perfect. Next week, not this week, but next week, we're going to do another one.
Yeah. Shoot us a DM. Tell us how we're doing. I need a pat on the back every once in a while, bro. There you go.
I'll pat you virtually.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, man. Let's put a bow on this thing.
All right. Guys, thank you so much. Again, Punchless MMA on all social channels. Dale, any final words, brother?
I always just tell people to be good to each other, but you're driving this time, so it's up to you.
Dude, shave your undercarriage and live your life.
There you go.
That's how I'm going to end it.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.